Welcome to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. I'm your host, Sean Smith. Joining me tonight is Alex Doherty of the Tennessean. Alex, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing mighty fine. I'm doing mighty fine. Alex, of course, if you can't tell, is joining us remotely tonight from where are you, Alex?
I'm just at home. Just chilling at home.
Just chilling at home. We had a little bit of kids sports practice today, huh?
Yeah, it was a little chilly out there, but it's okay.
Yeah, I've been in an ice arena today. It's been cold. I've been at a training facility. I've been all over the place with kids sports. It's a spring break for us, so we've got all kinds of camps and things going on. I definitely understand. Alex, look, just one week ago, we were discussing the Predators' 15-game point streak, wondering how much longer could this possibly go on. And, of course, we talked about how the new guys were adjusting to the team, the postseason situation, and the injury bug. And we're going to update a lot of those things today, but we're also going to take a look at the upcoming schedule. And, of course, we've got the main event 3-on-3 draft at the end of the show. But I want to get things started very quickly today, Alex. And I really hate to put you on the spot here, but I want to know what you think. Was the Golden Knights game the best Preds comeback you've ever seen?
Well, so I don't feel put on the spot because I saw this prior to the show starting, and I did a quick little research project using Hockey Reference.
Whoa.
And I've discovered that was only the third time in Predators history, in either the regular season or the postseason, that the team has been down 3-0 in the first period and come back to win. Only the third time that's ever happened.
When did it happen before? I assume you've got some data on that.
Yeah, the other two times were in 2022, November 5th against Vancouver. They were down 3-0 and tied it up 3-3 and then won in a shootout. And then the other time was in 2008, April 1st, 2008. And that was at St. Louis. And I think that was... trying to remember, that was a strange year. I think was that the Dan Ellis year? I think that was the Dan Ellis year. Anyways, they were down 3-0 to the Blues and then came back and won in overtime. So yeah, only the third time it's ever happened. And considering that they scored 5 goals instead of just 3 and 4 and there's other I'm gonna say it's the biggest comeback in Predators history.
Yeah, and the biggest one best Preds comeback you've ever seen. Yeah.
Well, I assume I'd seen that Vancouver one. I don't remember that, right. But that was at Vancouver, so I wasn't there for that.
Well,
one, right?
you think this was probably better than that?
Yeah, since I didn't even remember that one, yeah, I would say so.
So I'm going to say, look, as far as the sheer volume that they had to overcome, as far as goals and how many goals were against them in the short amount of time they did it in, I think it was pretty incredible. I still go back, and again, not quite as, you know, big of a, you know, comeback, but I remember the Calgary Flames game not too long before the season shut down, before COVID, where Mikael Granlund scored, I want to say with like a fraction of a second left in the third to tie it up and force overtime. And then very quickly into the overtime period, Granlund scored again. I was there at that game in the stands as a fan, and it was electric. But I was not there last night, but I would say that this Golden Knights game probably was the best comeback I've ever seen.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean it was impressive, and I think it was one of those situations where, you know, you probably saw, and tell me if I'm wrong here, you probably saw some people leaving early. Did you notice that it cleared out a little bit?
Well, okay, so you know, not really, because I was downstairs by the time the third period was rolling.
That's true.
So no, I didn't, but you know, the way that all unfolded when Jankowski scores to make it 3-1,
right,
and then almost immediately afterwards they go up 4-1. That was the point where I think that was really the start of the comeback, because I even down 3-0, I think people felt like this team could overcome that, and then, you know, Jankowski scores, right, and it's like, yeah, here we go, here comes the machine of the Predators of late, you know, coming back to storm back and take this game.
Right.
But then down 4-1, it felt a little different, right? Because then it's like, oh, maybe the momentum's not on the Nashville bench.
Well,
So I think the third period is really when it kicked in.
sure. I was at my son's baseball game, and I was talking to another parent who I know is a big Preds fan, and we were kind of watching the score update, and I was like, oh gosh, it's 3-0. I was like, oh hey, it's 3-1. I was like, oh, it's 4-1. And we just were kind of on this roller coaster of emotions where I was like, well, maybe this is the end of that point streak. And I think when we left the game, that was kind of the discussion as well. This thing looks like it's probably going to come to a crashing halt. And on the drive home, we ended up pulling into the garage as they scored in overtime. And it was like, oh man, this was insane. Like to have been in the building when that happened, it would have been pretty exciting. We'll just say that. Alex, look, let's update, set the scene a little bit, if you will. Last three games since we've had a show, 3-0 shutout against Florida, a 1-0 shutout against Detroit, and of course the thrilling 5-4 overtime win against Vegas last night. You know, the playoff picture, it's funny, as much as the Preds have been on this just insane point streak here, they're still in the first wild card spot. Not a lot of change there. Still ahead of Vegas, 4 points ahead now. And of course, the interesting change, they're only 4 points behind Winnipeg. And so I'm curious, do you think it's possible for the Predators to sneak into that third place spot in their division?
Not realistically. Right now there's according to well, I've looked at a number of sites for this. I'm currently using a place called playoffstatus.com.
Oh, wow.
Which seems, I think I like, the reason I like it is because they have a magic number thing, which I was looking at recently. But
right.
They give the chances of sneaking into the third spot at 19%.
Okay.
And even sneaking into the second or first place spot at 5% and 1%. So they seem to think that there's a 25% chance the Predators would sneak above the wild card in some way. But I just don't really see that as likely. I think that with those three teams up at the top, all right next to each other, you'd have to kind of outplay all three of them.
Sure.
Which seems unlikely. And you don't get the benefit of playing all of them. You play... Let's see, they play Colorado this weekend, and then
right.
I don't think they play Winnipeg or Dallas the rest of the way.
I think it's interesting though, Alex. You know, if you look at this, the Preds have 90 points, right? that would put them in a tie for second in the Pacific. If you look at the Metropolitan, they would be like solidly in third. If you look at the Atlantic, they would just be a little bit ahead of the Maple Leafs in third as well. Just the Central Division right now is just a hotbed of hot streaks and high scoring activity. It's making things a little bit difficult for the Preds, right, to move up.
I just I always just laugh whenever I hear this, like if they were in the Eastern Conference. You know, if they were in the NBA in the Western Conference, they'd be ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers right now. You
wow.
know that?
That's pretty intense.
If they were in the AFC East,
right?
They'd be in first place by 27 games.
Easily. I don't know what some of these letters you're saying together mean, but
impressive. It's just always funny because it's like if the league was arranged totally differently, then it would look. Or if the Nashville Predators played in the NBA, here's where they'd be in the standings. That to me, it's the equivalent of, it's the same thing. It's like, it's just kind of, and you're not the only one that does this. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just saying it's like, it's a thought experiment that I think is very silly. Hey, if they played all these games on the moon, who knows what would have happened?
That's true. There's no gravity there, right? Or there's a little bit of gravity. I wasn't paying attention that day in moon class, but, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm only saying it to say this. And again, yeah, they're not there. They're not in those divisions. But it's just if you look at competition or production across the league, it's interesting to see that it's very, you know,
yeah.
there's much higher. I guess the points from first to third are much higher in that specific division than in some of the others. So I kind of referenced this last week that, you know, you're looking at a situation where if the Golden Knights were to move past the Predators into the third spot in the Pacific, The Kings would actually drop down into the second wild card spot, and the Preds would still stay because they're 3 points ahead of the Kings right now, which is, I think that's interesting to note. I mean, and that's where you kind of have the divisional thing come into play a little bit, but you know, it's just kind of bizarre that you're like, wow, 18 game point streak, right? I mean, just phenomenal. I think I did the math on this. It was very complex math, but they've won 94.4% of their points over the course of this win streak, and they really haven't moved up that much. You know, they've only moved up a couple of spots, and they're not even cracked into that top three that's got them the, you know, one of the Central Division spots. I just think that's interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily think it means anything crazy, but I just think it's kind of bizarre if you're like, this has just been, wow, they've been on this hot streak. They must be in first place, right? Actually, no, they're not. So it's just interesting to me that that's kind of how things go. So I think, you know, Alex, we've kind of talked about where the team's sitting right now. I think when we come back, we're going to start talking a little bit about, we can talk about the Vegas win in a little more detail if you'd like, but I want to talk about relentlessness when we get back, talk a little bit about the defense as well. I think that'll be a pretty good thing to discuss. But before we go to the commercial, Preds fans, if you're ready for the face-off, just like hockey, home buying is all about strategy and timing. Salus Realty Group knows this game well. They're the MVPs of Nashville real estate, getting you the win with every transaction. Find your champion property at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, the power play for your home search. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, and of course you can take me down to the Paradise City where you'll find Truvo Sports Laundry, which is Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service that uses ozone technology to clean the smelliest, dirtiest sports gear such as hockey and football pads. The O3 process kills 98% of bacteria and 100% of viruses. If you've got a pile of nasty, filthy, stinky sports gear, either because you play rec leagues and can't be bothered to clean it, or you have teenagers, then go to TruvoSports.com and sign up for a cleaning today. They'll come to your house and everything. Truvo Sports Laundry, Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service. I actually called Truvo today as, after tying my son's skates, I can still smell his laces. And wow, what a nasty smell. All right, listen up. We had a fan call in during the last segment. They wanted to add and point out, Alex, you're going to be interested in this. I wanted to point out that they wanted to contribute this to the discussion. The comeback yesterday over the Vegas Golden Knights probably gets a little bit more, has a little more meaning to it because it was over the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you know who our mystery fan was? Alex?
I don't know. Who was it?
Well, there's no way you would know. Just a quick, I have no idea. It was none other than former president, current CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry.
There you go. So what was he wanting to point out?
He wanted to point out that this comeback yesterday over the Golden Knights was probably a bigger comeback because it was over the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah. Definitely a contributing factor for sure, being that they are now, they were down Mark Stone. They didn't have Hurdle. You know, I mean, they're still a great team. They were down there. They were playing their third goaltender. So like there were other factors too, but yeah, I can't argue with that. Anytime you beat the defending cup champions,
it feels good.
And by the way, and I'm just going to add to this. So like this is kind of just interesting to me about the comeback discussion.
Okay.
This is the first time the Predators have been down 3-0 at home in the first period and come back to win. Like that's the first time it's ever happened. Now they've been down like in the second, I'm just looking at first periods here. I don't have time to look through every situation, but you know, for being down 3-0 in the first period, I mean, they were down, what was it? 4-5-0 to the Dallas Stars.
That's true.
You know, on February 15th, and they didn't win that game. So, like, there have been situations where they've been down at home and not come back to win. This is the first time that's happened, so that's kind of interesting.
It's true. February 15th is a day that will live in infamy for this franchise this season, right? Okay. All right. So, thank you, Sean Henry. Number one, thanks for listening. Number two, thanks for calling in. Let's talk about being relentless. You know, the guys are wearing the hats. That's kind of their one-word motto, and it's a good one. Who do you think, you know, we talked last week about who's been the most relentless. And let's say, you know, look, they're not giving up when they're down three goals. Like you said, in the first period, that seems significant to me because I feel like we've seen a team in the past that would get that three goal deficit that early and then not come back. You know, is this just a massive change in the culture of this team that both Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette have talked about, like coming into the season? Are we seeing what that culture change is in this relentless approach to these games, Alex?
Yeah, I think so. Just full disclosure, I want to point out that, I am actually writing a story right now that will be published tomorrow on the Tennessean website.
Wow.
About these relentless hats. Okay. I did a little bit of research, just a little bit of backstory on how it came about, when it started, maybe who helped with the design, such and why.
Okay.
Why that word, you know, like there's a lot of words you could have picked, you know, why that one. Be looking for that. That's going to be coming out.
Sounds interesting. Sounds like something I'd like to read.
So relentless. I think the key to that word, and I think the most what typifies this team over others is that I think the idea that every single person is. Understands that they have to do that. Maybe in the past it was like certain role players had to have that relentless mentality. Like
right.
Maybe in the past a Cole Smith or a Michael McCarron or a Yakov Trenin were like kind of expected to have the constant motor going where
right.
It's just every shift their job is to do the dirty work and get the puck to the people who can score the goals. But when it came time for the skill players to do their job, it was like they had to have the situation exactly the right way. It had to be the puck had to be on their forehand this way. It had to be a pass on their tape in order for it to be the right situation. But this time it feels like the relentless mentality is like everyone has to have that. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's why they have the hats is. You know, not only does everyone have one, but everyone can see that everyone else is wearing one, right?
Right.
So it's like a reminder that it's not just the fourth line. It's
correct.
Not just the, you know, the Sherwood, McCarron, Smith line. It's the top line. It's the top line that scores all the goals. It's the Novak line. It's Evangelista. It's Jankowski. It's the two new guys from the trade deadline. It's all of them. It's all the defensemen, you know?
Right.
So I think that's how I look at it. I think that's kind of why this feels different and why it feels like it's a more important mantra for this team over this last stretch.
Right. And I think too, look, this is, it's a layer of accountability, right? Like you said, everybody's wearing it. Everybody sees it. You know, if you're wearing a relentless hat, Alex, and you're not being relentless, you can get called out on that. I think it's fair game to say, like, hey, it's kind of like wearing a What Would Jesus Do bracelet back in the late 90s, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Except it's not It's not Jesus, it's hockey and playing hard.
Right, yeah.
So
Holy Week.
Well, hey, there you go.
It is Holy Week.
You're very right. Look, let's talk about something else that I thought was fairly relentless this past week. Philip Forsberg. You know him, you love him. He's one of Ryan O'Reilly's Swedish meatballs. He got in a fight. He had a little tussle. He dropped the gloves. What do you think about that? Is that relentless?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I feel it is very weird that both Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg both got in fights against the same team for and having taken fight. You know, a break from fighting for the same length of time. Josi, the first time in 4 years, he fights DeBrincat of the Red Wings. Forsberg, first time in 4 years, fights Moritz Seider of the Red Wings. It's just weird. It's like an aligning of the stars or something.
Like a presidential election. Every 4 years, you got to fight.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think it was just an in the moment thing. It's a very strict. It is so uncommon for top star players to do that.
Sure.
When it happens, it makes sense why everyone wants to talk about it. But like, ultimately, it doesn't really mean much. I mean, it's like, it's not going to happen again. There wasn't really any deep reason behind why those two fought. Like, I actually was paying attention to that matchup early on, and they were pretty physical with each other. Like, Sider was on the ice with Forsberg like every shift, and they were battling. I mean, it was a tough battle. That's going to be a great battle to watch over the next, you know, many years. But there didn't seem to be some like underlying, you know, personal tension or something. It was just like two guys going at it, and then all of a sudden it's like just something sparked, and then they dropped him. But it was a pretty fun battle. 20 seconds long. It was like maybe like 22 seconds long, which is an eternity.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I don't know. Let's move on from the fight talk, Alex. Let's talk about something else. And I want to talk about the defense. And I'm going to do the Jeremy Lauzon returned to action last night, right? I'm going to take a little bit of responsibility here, because we're going to be talking about hits, and that's something that I've been tracking, I've been following it. It's very exciting to me that somebody on the Preds is on track, on pace to break a record like that. You don't often get those types of things. Like, within the team, sure, you know, you can have Forsberg's going for the most goals in a season once again, competing with former Predator Matt Duchene for that. Also trying to bypass himself for second on that list as it stands. But this is an NHL record, and there are not a lot of guys that get that opportunity on this team. So I've been really excited about the hits. I've been keeping track of the hits, and you know, all this hit talk, what do hits actually do for the team? How does it impact a game?
I mean, are you asking me to give you like a tactical answer here? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Like, what do hits do? I mean, it's a stat that they track, so obviously it has something to do with the game. Like, how does it impact a game? What happens when you hit somebody?
Well, I mean, generally it leads to winning the puck back.
Okay.
It usually it's to protect some area of the ice that you don't want them to go to. I mean, it's like either preventing them from getting into the middle of the ice, or maybe preventing them from passing it to a dangerous area, or doing something dangerous with the puck. But in general, it's just a defensive tool to prevent, you know, prevent the opponent from doing anything, scoring on your goal.
So I want to make it clear that this is not, you know, this is not just some extra thing that they're keeping track of for laughs. Like, there is an actual tangible impact on the game, correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a goal. It's not an assist. You know, it's nothing. It's not a save, but you're taking a player out of the play for a moment. You're creating space. You're winning a puck back. You're doing something that has an impact on the game. So keeping track of hits, getting excited about hits is not just, you know, like keeping track of, say, who's won the most fights or anything. There's actually a discernible, you know, like change it can have, an impact it can have on the game, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I wanted to make sure for myself and for a lot of people listening, because I've heard some criticism from people saying like, oh, it's not an important stat, it doesn't really matter. But I feel like while it may not be one of your primary stats, I do think it has its place in the game. I think it's an important stat to pay attention to, especially when you see somebody kind of going on a run here. So I want you to pay attention to Penalty Box Radio over the next couple of days. We've got something really exciting coming out involving Lauzon's chase for the hits. If you pay attention on social media, it'll also be on the website. So I want you guys to pay attention to that and check that out. Coming up next, I think we'll finish off talking about the defense, and then we'll move into some awards talk. But before we do that, of course, as we look ahead to the next Predator Showdown, it's the perfect time to plan your future in Nashville. Salus Realty Group is ready to assist, ensuring your real estate goals are met with the determination of a playoff chase. Visit salusrealtygroup.com and let's start mapping out your game plan. Salus Realty Group, where every closing is a championship victory. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by the Music City Marauders. The Music City Marauders have announced their spring tryout date. Spring tryouts will be held April 29th through May 2nd. This is the chance your youth hockey player has been waiting for to try out for a competitive youth hockey team. I can speak from experience. This is an incredible program and a great opportunity to train with great coaches and play against some of the best teams in the country. Head over to www.musiccitymarauders.com to sign up for tryouts today. Alex, look, right now, as we speak, my son skating at Music City Marauders spring camp to get ready for those tryouts. Really excited about that coming up. Alex, but let's talk about awards. I was listening before this show. I was listening to Preds Insiders, just like I do every week that it's on, as I get myself hyped up for the show, looking at myself in the bathroom mirror, splashing water on my face. let's get ready. We got to do this today. Something about listening to those guys talk just gets me all hype. And they discussed awards, and they're probably went into a little bit more detail about these awards than we're going to. But I do want to say, you know, there's been some chatter, and it's some. It's not an overwhelming amount. It's not coming from Canadian media by any chance. But do some of the Predators have an argument here for an award at the end of the season, an NHL award? And of course, there's three that I'm thinking about. Let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about the Norris Trophy. Do you think Roman Josi has a chance at the Norris Trophy?
I've been writing about this for a while now. I mean, yeah, I think he should definitely be a finalist.
Okay.
I mean, looking at the numbers, look, the Norris Trophy is a points-driven award. It has been for years now, and he's going to lead the he's going to be at the top or near the top in goals among defensemen. He's going to be at the top or near the top in points. He's going to be at the top or near the top in assists. Like, he's going to be there. He's going to be in the top three in points. It's not just because of some crazy high shooting percentage. Like, he's just getting, he's just playing really well all across the board.
He's so getting the job done.
I think it's going to be Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Roman Josi will be the finalists. And I think Quinn Hughes wins it.
Okay. Now, you know, there have been a lot of people that I put out a little graphic just saying, like, hey, maybe it's time to start talking about Roman Josi for the Norris here. And there's still just a lot. I mean, I think, is it a misunderstanding? Am I missing something here on this award that a lot of people say, this? Why is this about offense if it's for defenders? I mean, it's been that way for quite a while, has it not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's never been. I mean, look at Erik Karlsson wins last year for one of the. I mean, he clearly was a very good offensive defenseman on a bad Sharks team.
Ooh, very bad.
I mean, if last night does not convince you that it's only about offense, then nothing will, because that was the most clear example. In fact, every time that Karlsson has won it, it's been like that. But I'm not trying to bang on Karlsson here, but. Yeah, it's always going to be that.
I mean, it's not going to hurt my feelings if that's what you want to do. Just saying, you've got the airtime if you want to bang on Karlsson for a while. No? Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm just saying, it's okay. All right, I think you're probably right. I think Josi definitely deserves to be in that conversation. I don't know if he's going to win it or not. I'd say there's probably a better chance that he doesn't win it than he does, which is unfortunate. Any time you
can we
get – go ahead.
But can we talk about the Hart Trophy thing? Because I know that, I think that's where we're going next, right?
It is. It's what I have down next. But we're the only ones that can see those notes, Alex.
Okay. I feel like this happens every year.
Okay.
Every year, hockey fans step on the rake again and get hit in the face.
Right.
Because they think that a defenseman is going to be in the running for the Hart Trophy, or a goalie, or I mean, usually defenseman's the one that really tricks people. Sometimes goalies jump up in the end of the finalists.
Right.
In the last 25 years, one defenseman has been a finalist even for the Hart Trophy. In fact, it's also the last time that a defenseman won the Hart Trophy. It was Chris Pronger in 99-2000.
Oh, wow.
Chris Pronger won it over Jaromir Jagr and Pavel Bure. Every single year since then, it's been forwards and a few goalies here and there.
Yeah.
In fact, in the last you have to go back to the previous time that there was even a defenseman in the top three as a finalist was Ray Bourque in 1990, so 10 years prior to that.
Wow.
So we're talking about in the last 35 years, two defensemen have been in the finalist for the Hart Trophy.
Wow.
It's not happening. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be in the finalist, but it happens every year because every year it's like, oh, Miro Heiskanen or Adam Fox or Roman Josi or Aaron Ekblad. These guys need to be in the Hart Trophy conversation. Not going to happen. Sorry. It's not going to happen.
Okay. So what you're saying, and this is Penalty Box Radio Live exclusive. Alex Doherty of the Tennessean says, hockey fans, if you think a defender is going to be in the conversation for the Hart Trophy, you're a fool, correct?
Yeah, you're not a fool. You're just a hope. You're just a romantic that would love for it to happen, but the reality is it won't. And that's it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You'd be much more likely to see a goalie, and obviously that's not going to happen with either the Nashville goalies, but like Igor Shesterkin was a finalist. He was the third runner up to Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid 2 years ago.
Right.
That was a pretty, I mean, I don't know, controversial, but that was a pretty eye-opening moment that because that had been a while since a goalie had been in the top. I think Bobrovsky was in there recently. Lundqvist has been in there a couple times. But, yeah, defensemen. I mean, like, think about all the defensemen that have been incredible over the last many years. I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen. Like, they don't get in the Hart Trophy conversation.
Well, yeah, let's skip the Hart talk then. I wasn't gonna say let's talk about Josi and the Hart.
We didn't
bring up
it.
Phil Forsberg. See what you thought there. I don't know.
for what?
For the Hart.
So he's making a case for like being in the top 10.
Okay.
I would say that.
Fair.
He's not gonna be a finalist. I mean, yeah,
okay.
It's probably going to be Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, and then who else?
McKinnon.
McKinnon. Thank you. Yeah, McKinnon. Yeah, that's your top three.
Okay.
It's Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Nathan McKinnon. That's going to be your top three.
Okay, what about has UC Soros put himself back in Vezina conversation?
Not even close.
Okay.
He's not going to get close to wins, and that's the big ones you need. The wins is the thing that's going to hurt him the most. What is he sitting at, like 30 something wins?
I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to get more votes now than he would have obviously had he not turned things around. I mean, but yeah, the problem with him. Okay, he's closer in wins than I thought. He's the leader in wins is Gorgiev with 37. Soros has 32. I wouldn't bet on it, but his odds are better than I thought. Maybe he's like top five. Maybe
okay.
He's top five, top five, top six.
So you're
like
saying there's a chance. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So National Hockey League awards aside, let's just focus on the team because obviously the team's going to have an MVP. Which player on the team means the most to the team? And I mean it this way. On the ice, talking about play on the ice, who, if you subtract them from the lineup, would have the biggest negative impact on the team, in your opinion?
Wait, are we like for the Predators?
Yes.
The Nashville Predators, the team in Nashville.
The Nashville. Did you know Nashville has a hockey team, Alex?
I did not.
But yes.
It's really hard between Forsberg and Josi. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't know. I would give them a co-MVPs at this point.
Okay,
honestly.
That's fair.
Like they are both so important for this team. I mean, I think I would give the edge to Forsberg for one reason, and that is I think there's something to be said for like having an offensive player be more of your MVP these days because it's just you just need it more. Like it's your offensive star is always going to be your most important player in today's NHL. So, I mean, Forsberg, I'm not comparing him to these players, but he is the equivalent of, he's Nashville's Nathan McKinnon. He's Nashville's
right.
Connor McDavid. He's Nashville's Sidney Crosby. Like that's his play. That's what he is to Nashville.
Fair. So I tell you what, when we come back from the break, I will tell you who I believe is the Preds on ice MVP. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'd like to know who you think is the locker room MVP, meaning that if you subtract them from the locker room, who would have the biggest negative impact if you took them out of the locker room. And then, of course, we'll have our main event 3-on-3 draft. Very exciting. Folks, the show's almost over, but your real estate journey is just beginning. With Salus Realty Group, you're always on the winning team. Their dedication to clients is as relentless as the Preds on a power play. Lace up for your real estate play at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, where every deal is a hat trick. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. This segment is brought to you by Main Event. Main Event just opened their newest location in Murfreesboro. And let me tell you, if you want to have nothing but a good time, it's worth the drive. They've got everything you need to have fun. Bowling, billiards, laser tag, a full menu, full service bar, and a whole lot of games. This brand new facility has plenty of room for your family, team, or corporate event. Ask about the Penalty Box Radio special when signing up for a year-end sports party or other event for some extra fun on us. Head over to mainevent.com for more information today. All right, we're back. Got a really fun segment here. I'm going to start off, Alex. I'm going to tell you who my on-ice MVP is for the Predators, the Nashville Predators, the team, the hockey team in Nashville, just to be clear. Okay. Some people like to talk about them on the radio. I guess that would be us. Here's the thing. You know, you said you'd give the edge to Philip Forsberg, and I'd have to agree with you on that. Forsberg is – this is now, you know, his second 40-goal season. He's establishing himself on the team as a guy you can rely on to score and get the job done, and I think that's something that the team has been looking for a while. It's something that has – seemingly been promised and not delivered, and it's I think it's here, and I think it's here to stay, and I think that's exciting. I want to know really quickly, who is your locker room MVP, the player that if you subtracted them from the locker room, it would have the biggest negative impact on the team?
This one's pretty easy for me, actually.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. The way you phrased it just there, saying who would have the negative impact if they weren't there.
Right.
I guess I'm more thinking about it like, this particular person, their arrival in the locker room, I think, was a catalyst for the entire change in mindset for where this team is at right now, and that's Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh,
I think that the signing of Ryan O'Reilly belongs in the top three reasons why this team is where they are right now.
Well, Alex would have to agree with you on that one. I think we've got the same locker room MVP.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't saying like if they removed him, then like the locker room would go terrible. But I just think like every single thing that guy does,
yeah,
has a ripple effect on the rest of the room. I mean, the one thing is, I think there's a lot to be said for his sort of partnership, his on ice relationship with Philip Forsberg.
Yeah,
has been. I mean, I don't think there's any. It's not coincidence that Phil Forsberg's having this year because of O'Reilly, and you know all the talk about Matt Duchene and everything. I think that Forsberg needed another you know just dog out there with him. You know,
that's the word Ryan O'Reilly. I was gonna use.
And Ryan O'Reilly is a dog out on the ice that is just he will not quit on anything. He does not. You know, the practice stuff we've talked about that, about how it's just an insane practicer he is. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say everything you just said for the exact same reasons. I mean, he's come into the locker room, I think, again, ripple effect, everything that he does, the team gravitates toward his work ethic, the way he plays. I think he is a relentless catalyst, if you will. I think he's probably one of the big catalysts for being relentless on the team. And he's a dog. I mean, if he's not a dog, he's got the dog in him. You know what I mean? So let's move on from that because I know we want to get to the main event 3-on-3 draft, but, let's talk. We got some upcoming games, Alex. Tomorrow the Preds play against the Coyotes. It's a late start out in Arizona. Saturday, and in Colorado, it's 5 o'clock start. It's a week for odd start times, and then next Tuesday, a home game against Boston at your regular start time of 7. How many points do you think? Look, they're on a streak here. Does this streak remain intact? And that doesn't mean they have to win every game. It just means they have to tie every game. Does this streak remain intact when we're talking again next week? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a better way of looking at it as opposed to how many points, because you know, I think the streak probably ends one of these three games. They seem to have problems with Arizona every time they play them. At Colorado, they've lost something like 4 of their last 5 out there in the regular season. And then Boston's not, I mean, they're really good, and they've also given the Predators problems recently. I feel like they're going to lose one of these in regulation.
Okay.
My money would go on the at Colorado, you know, going to Colorado and losing that one.
Right.
But it could happen tomorrow too. In Arizona, I wouldn't be surprised by that. So they're going to lose one of these three.
Look, man, weird things happen in Arizona when it comes to hockey and the Preds. That's just one thing I know for a fact, right? You never know what's going to happen. They could be the worst team in the NHL. The Preds could be the best team, and they go out there on a Thursday night and just get blasted. So, I hope the streak doesn't end. It's been exciting, but, you know, I think that if any week presents the chance for it to happen, this week's just as good as any other. Alex, let's get to the 3-on-3 draft, and we got to talk about the main event here. I'm really excited. You know, it's topical. We've had a very big lottery prize here, $1.1 billion, Alex. That's a lot of money. And we're going to draft our $1.1 billion lottery splurges. What would we just spoil ourselves with if we were to win $1.1 billion in the lottery? And, Alex, you're going to get to go first on this one.
Okay. So my first pick in this draft, if I've got $1.1 billion,
okay,
I feel like that's the perfect opportunity to own a sports team.
Wow. Okay.
So I am splurging, and I'm going to spend about half that maybe I don't even need to spend half of it, but spend some amount of it on a sports team. Maybe I'm only buying a minor league team or like an MLS team or maybe a hockey team.
Okay.
But I'm buying a sports team. I'm becoming like an owner of a sports team.
Okay. You want me to write down any specific, like, we talking like NBA, we're talking like a D league team?
I mean, I think just I'm going to buy some sport. I'm going to buy a sports team. I don't know. Not NBA, but
okay.
Probably a hockey team or a baseball team.
Okay. Well, I point out that takes something off of my list.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, okay.
Maybe I should be more specific. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm just going to say a minor league baseball or hockey team. One of those two.
That also takes something off my list. Okay. A minor league baseball or hockey team. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go. If you remember that commercial, I don't remember who the athlete is. I think it may be a football player, but there is a Taco Bell in his house. You remember this commercial? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who that is.
It doesn't matter, and it doesn't even matter that it's Taco Bell, but I would like to have a Martin's barbecue.
Maybe not
in my house, but near enough to my house that I could just walk out and get it. Maybe like a covered walkway away from where I live and just walk out, rain or shine, snow, sleet, hail. And just
one
go.
Of those moving, like one of those moving sidewalks, like at the airport.
That might be effective, especially if it's going faster getting back, so I can come back and eat at home. Because God knows I don't want to. I want to eat at home, on the couch. Okay, so
Martin's all right, barbecue. Martin's barbecue in the house. All right, my second one is I'm going to buy an island.
Oh, an island. All right,
just an island.
Just an island.
I mean, I'm probably going to buy like a smaller. Maybe I'm going to do like a Island of Dr. Moreau thing where it's like,
wow.
I don't remember which one. I don't remember if that was. Is that the one where he's like
experimenting and making human hybrids?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm not buying an island to live on. I'm just buying an island to own it and just like you know, go visit sometimes, maybe check it out, maybe just vacation there. I'm not moving to the island, in other words.
Okay. My next one, we've got to go a little faster here. We're running out of time, Alex. I would like to start an endowment at my college to give a full scholarship each year to the student with the worst freshman year GPA who turns it around and really impresses everyone with their ability to graduate. That's very personal to me.
So, that's cool. I like that.
That's a good one. All right, Alex, your last one.
My last one is, you know, I'm into sports cards, so I would spend just way too much money on like every kind of sports card. I would buy a bunch of vintage stuff. I'd buy some new stuff. I would go on a reckless spending spree on every sports card I could find and fill it up in a new room in my house.
Okay. I like that. All right. With my last choice, Alex, if I were to win $1.1 billion, I would buy my own website to cover hockey.
Nice.
Okay. All right. So let's review really quick so Jake can vote for us here. All right. Sean, that's me. I chose a Martin's barbecue near my house with a covered walkway. The endowment at my college for the scholarship for students similar to myself, and a website with which I could cover the Nashville Predators. Alex has chosen a minor league baseball or hockey team, some kind of weird experimentation island, and every kind of sports card.
I don't know what it is, Sean. I like the full scholarship for the guy who turns it around and the Martin's barbecue right next to your house. I'm going to go with Sean. I know he had this prompt for longer, but it felt like he had a little more creativity.
Nice. Okay.
Well, I agree like that I should have won. I'll point out that
I think he didn't have it much longer than me. I think my creepy island was a deal breaker for me.
Well, Alex, I'm sorry about your loss, although you should have fun on your weird island. Thanks for joining me tonight, Alex. And, of course, everybody out there, thanks for listening to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. Also, thanks to Truvo Sports Laundry, the Music City Marauders, and Main Event of Murfreesboro. We'll see you again next week. Alex, have a great night.
All right. See you guys later.